Rosemary Mahoney of Bristol is here today with us. And we have also a special treat, special guest, Sabria Tenbarkin, who's the co-founder of a school in Tibet for blind folks that Rosemary has written about. Rosemary, tell us a bit about your book.
The book is about blindness in general, and more particularly it's about the experiences I had at Sabria's School for the Blind in Tibet and then at its sister institute in southern India. Sabria is also the founder of that. I think in a bigger sense, it's a very personal book, and it's about the transformation that I made from being a person who was always terrified of blindness and even a little bit uncomfortable in the company of blind people because I had never met any blind people before, to becoming a person who learned so much from the blind people that I worked with, both about blindness and about myself, that I was inspired to write a whole book about it. I met Sabria when I was sent by the Oprah magazine to write a profile about her. They sent me to Tibet and they said, there's this amazing woman. She's German, she's blind, she's had an extraordinary life. Would you like to go to Tibet and write about her? And I said, yeah, okay. I was a little apprehensive about going and meeting this blind woman and spending 10 days in the company of a lot of blind children because I had had no experience with blindness before.
Well, it's fascinating to me because you say in the book that you've had a lifelong, quote, morbid fear, unquote, of blindness.
Right.
Where does this come from and why did you decide to write this book about the blind?
Okay, well, I'm very attached to my eyesight. I'm a very visual person. But I think this fear of blindness, it's not unusual. I think a lot of sighted people have this fear. And I think that because for us, for sighted people, when we close our eyes and we imagine living in what to us is darkness for the rest of our lives, we feel helpless, we panic a little bit, and it is somehow related to death. I mean, I always thought if I went blind, I would be helpless and I would be forgotten. I'd become invisible. And that is just something that always terrified me. So having met all these blind people and found out how rich their lives are and how capable they are and how happy they are, it was a complete transformation for me. When I met Sabria, she didn't match at all the image I had of a blind person. I sort of imagined that blind people would be a little bit helpless and a little bit fearful and kind of boring maybe because if you're blind, you can't have a lot of interesting experiences. Well, that simply isn't true.
You write that sight is a slick and overbearing autocrat, trumpeting its progenital knowledge and perceptions so forcefully that it drowns out the other subtler senses.
Right, but I didn't learn that, Scott, until I went to Tibet. And at Sabria's suggestion, I allowed two of the students there, two blind teenage girls, to blindfold me and then walk me across the city to a specific destination.
Which is a beautiful part of the book, by
the way. Well, they wanted to show me what life is like for a blind person navigating in the city. And these girls did it so beautifully, and I was kind of baffled. I thought, how do they know that you turn left here? How do they know you turn right? They're blind. They can't see. And they kept saying, don't you hear the sound of, you know, many televisions just to the right of us? That's a guy selling TVs, and every time we hear them, we know where we are, and we know we turn left. So what I realized by the end of this walk was they were attuned to the world with their ears, with their sense of smell, with their sense of touch. They noticed every slight change in the street below their feet. I had no recognition of that. They had to point it out to me. And what I realized was, okay, blindness is a physical disability, but I am also physically disabled. We don't know how much value we're missing by not paying attention to our other senses.
How did you gain the trust of people so different from you? And I'm going to start with you, Sabria. How did you allow Rosemary the kind of access that you did?
Well, actually, it was not much effort from my side. She just came in. She was sent by Oprah for the O magazine. So what choice did I have? You know, she came in and, of course, we wanted to get the message out. But what I realized, actually, we got along, in my opinion, we got along very quickly, very well. Actually, she loves to talk, I love to talk, and somehow we have a similar sense of humor. And the interesting thing that I found out in her book is that she didn't expect humor from a blind person.
Exactly.
And this is something I never knew, you know, when we got to know each other at first, because I was a little cynical sometimes, and I was just making fun of her. And
right.
Making
she
fun
teased
of her
me, and the first moment that she teased me, I knew I would be comfortable with her. Because I thought, if she feels free to tease me, then that means I can tease her. And that is a bit my style.
So humor is kind of this universal...
Yes, well, it is. I mean, I think, I don't know why sighted people sometimes think this, but they think we have to be very gentle with the blind. We have
because
to speak,
we are so depressed.
Yeah, we have to speak gently to them, and we can't, don't say anything that might upset them. But this is... This is in the sighted person's mind. This is not in the blind person's mind. We have all these preconceptions and prejudices that we then project onto the blind. They are not what we think they are.
Now, you break that stereotype down very well in the book. Sabrina, what did you think when you read the book?
Well, first of all, I read the book very, very late. Maybe she was a bit afraid to show it to us. I don't know.
I was a bit worried about what their reaction
exactly.
would be.
Exactly. So we read it on the flight here to the States. So I read it and I was laughing. I was laughing aloud. Normally, I don't do this much, you know. But then I thought, like, what do these people think that they're sitting right next to me? Probably they think I want what she wants.
Yeah.
So I was laughing a lot, and then actually, Paul is my partner and co-founder. We read the last chapter together, and we were both in tears. And I'm not so easily getting in tears. And it's not because of pity. It's not because she wrote a very sensitive thing about blindness. No, it's a very human story, and she ended it with a very human story.
Writers run a pretty wide spectrum. You've got one of the most varied resumes I've seen of any accomplished writer. What's the wellspring of this seemingly endless curiosity?
Well, I am very curious. I love talking to people. I love learning about people whose lives are different from mine. And, you know, I don't often plan my books very carefully in advance. If I go and do something that interests me and I think there could be a book in this, I'll go with it. I didn't think I'd be writing a book about blindness. This started out as a magazine article. But I was so surprised by what I learned that it wouldn't leave me alone. And when I heard that Paul and Sabrina had founded this institute in southern India, I thought, I want to learn more about blindness, and the best way to do that is to volunteer at their school. I'll be living with blind people. So it's these ideas, I don't look for them, they come to me.
The book is called For the Benefit of Those Who See, Dispatches from the World of the Blind. It's by Rosemary Mahoney, one of Rhode Island's own. I want to thank you very, very much.
Thank you for having me, Scott.